So here we are, being church in the 21st century. And this is a series that I think you're in the middle of. I've listened to some of them online just to get a grasp of what's going on. And I think it's a great question to ask. I love asking that question. What's it like to be church in the 21st century with this kind of culture that we've got going on, our society with different generations, the internet, social media? How do we actually, with our culture, how do we work within it? How do we respond to it? How do we resist it where we need to? I was actually at a one-day conference a couple of weeks ago, which was called the Church and Culture Conference, which was led by James Emery White, who's some big church and culture person. And he was fascinating. He spoke for a whole session on Generation Z, which is makes me feel like a dinosaur, which is everybody born from 1995. So actually my kids fall quite squarely within that. And I just had a lesson in parenting. I just sat there going, oh, that's why my daughter's like she is. Oh, right. But it was absolutely fascinating. And it took me back a couple of weeks previously to an amazing conversation we had around our dinner table. My husband's, Jonathan, his parents were with us. They're 80. Jonathan and I were at the table. We're early 50s. And my daughter, who's 17, and we were discussing at the dinner table sexuality, as you do. And you can imagine the difference in the discussion from, you know, my parents-in-law who are 80, who are kind of, you know, actually, you're man, you're woman, male, you're female, that's it. Anything else, whew, be weird. To my daughter, Generation Z, who actually sexuality is quite immaterial. You're a person. You're not really male nor female, whether you're same-sex attracted or not or whatever. It's actually a bit irrelevant because actually you're just a person. And Jonathan and I, in the middle, negotiating backwards and forwards, trying to stop World War III breaking out between the generations and our family. So the whole thing of being church in the 21st century is massive, isn't it? You know, what do we think? What do we say? What do we believe? And people like James Emery White are really interesting to listen to. But as I think about all of that, and some of it confuses me utterly, some of it I find really interesting, I just think that there is one thing at the very bottom, which is timeless, and which I think is really important for us, no matter whether we're church in the first century, which we're going to look at, the 21st or the 51st century, it is this, being totally devoted. And I think this is something that we need to grapple with. I think we need to quite possibly swim against the tide of our culture with regard to it, because what I know is God wants to connect with every single one of you here and every single person in our community, and he wants River Church Marlow to be the hope of the world in this place. And I believe that this is where it starts. So I want to just ask you a question. You can shout out some answers. What do you want, if you're River Church Marlow being church in the 21st century here, what do you want it to look like? What do you want to happen here as church? Give me an answer or two. Too many of you to fit in the room. Great, happy, fun and relevant. What do you want to see happening? Yeah. Inclusive, healing, shadow healing. Come on, not just healing, let's aim high. Anything else? Holy Spirit. It's a pretty good start, isn't it? Let me take you to the first century church, which we're tempted to go, oh, it's the first century, that's too long ago. But let's just look at it. Evelyn read it a little earlier on. Andrew's going to read it for me in just a moment from a slightly different version. And where we are, if you're not sure, is we're in Acts 2. Jesus has been crucified some weeks previously. He's risen from the dead. His disciples have seen him and spent time with him in his risen state. He's ascended to heaven. And then the Holy Spirit has fallen on his disciples, fulfilling the promise that Jesus made to them about sending them a helper who would always be with them. They've not just been filled with the Holy Spirit, they've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, utterly soaked and immersed in him. So Holy Spirit was a good answer. Peter has stood up and spoken with boldness from the Holy Spirit, telling everyone around them what has happened. I think he genuinely was the first raving evangelist. Now, Andrew is just going to read this and I'll put it up.
That day, about 3,000 took Peter at his word, were baptized and were signed up. They devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles, the life together, the common meal, and the prayers. Everyone around was in awe. All those wonders and signs done through the apostles. And all the believers lived in a wonderful harmony, holding everything in common. They sold whatever they owned and pooled their resources so that each person's need was met. They followed a daily discipline of worship in the temple, followed by meals at home, every meal a celebration, exuberant and joyful as they praised God. People in general liked what they saw. Every day their number grew as God added those that were saved.
Thanks, Andrew. That's from Acts 2, 42 to 47. So what do we see happening? We see 3,000 saved. Come on. We see people learning more about Jesus. We see them sharing life together. We see them eating together, praying, signs and wonders, generous living, worshipping, and we see people added every day. And actually, that's not dissimilar to what you said you want to see here in River Church Marlow. And why not? Why can it not be like that? Does God have any less for us? I don't think he does. But I think there was something that was at the heart of that in the first century church. It's really easy to look over as you read that. We get fixed on sharing life together and all that kind of thing that stresses us a bit. And we look over this because what they were was they were devoted. It says they devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles, the life together, the common meal, and the prayers. They devoted themselves to life with Jesus and the church, and to life for Jesus and his church. But what does devoted mean? Any suggestions as to what devoted means? Focused, yeah, good. Yeah, committed. Obedient, yeah. Selfless, that's great. Yeah, single-minded. Any others? Shall I tell you what it means out of the real Greek? The real Greek, I'm not going to tell you what the word is, means this: to be earnest towards, to persevere, to be constantly diligent, to adhere closely, stick yourself to give yourself continually to something. If you look in the dictionary, it says this: to give over yourself or your resources to a particular activity or person, enthusiastic attachment, to be very loving or loyal, to have great love. And you know what, guys? I think we need to have supernatural levels of devotion in the 21st century. I ask myself, why do churches die? And you know, I don't think it's because God gives up on them and he goes, well, I'm a bit bored of them, I'm going to move on somewhere else. I think they just die because people just lose their devotion. They lose their devotion to God and to the church. And I just think that if we're half-hearted, we're never going to serve well. We're never going to step out into our communities, invest our resources, serve one another, or actually achieve our vision. And I'm going to read you now a great quote from a writer I love immensely. He's called Bill Hybels. He heads up the Willow Creek Association. And he says this about the local church: there is nothing like the local church when it's working right. Its beauty is indescribable. Its power is breathtaking. Its potential is unlimited. It comforts the grieving and heals the broken in the context of community. It builds bridges to seekers and offers truth to the confused. It provides resources for those in need and opens its arms to the forgotten, the downtrodden, the disillusioned. It breaks the chains of addictions, frees the oppressed, and offers belonging to the marginalized of this world. Whatever the capacity for human suffering, the church has a greater capacity for healing and wholeness. No other organization on earth is like the church. Nothing even comes close. I love that because that's the truth. That is who we can be as church in the 21st century. That's what I want to live my life for. That's what I want to give my life to. But we're going to need to be totally devoted. So, I'm going to ask an uncomfortable question. Where's your level of devotion today? Realistically, honestly, ask yourself, where am I? Lest we get too heavy, let me introduce you to my friend, the dial of devotion. This morning, ladies and gentlemen, you may feel that you are in a low devotion place, Or you may feel that you are in a high devotion place. Now then, I need two volunteers here. I'm not going to humiliate you, Paul Derrias, you can be one. Not a volunteer at all. Paul, please could you come and stand here? Taylor, will you come and stand here? You're just going to hold something for me. Here, just here and here. Just excuse me a moment. Now then, where would you find yourself if that was a scale? Here you are. I've just called this person Sam, simply because it could be Samuel or Samantha. A bit homogenous looking, really, isn't it? You know, glorious clip art. Now, where are you? Where would you place yourself? You could be here. And you know what? If you're here today and you're just exploring who Jesus is, or you're quite early on in your relationship with Jesus, being a Jesus follower, you may be here. And you know what? Nothing wrong with that. Our goal is to move, isn't it, in our devotion, is to move along the scale so that actually we become followers of Jesus who are in the high devotion place. But I actually think however long you've been a Christian doesn't mean where you are on this scale. So just because you're here and you've been a Christian for 30 years, I don't think it places you here. Awkward moment. It could very easily, you could still be here. Because I don't think this scale has anything to do with how long you've been a Christian. It's about our heart attitude. Being a follower of Jesus doesn't make you devoted. Choosing to be devoted is what makes you devoted. Gentlemen, thank you. Would you just like to pop them down, probably on the floor? Fabulous. Round of applause for my lovely assistants. In Acts 2, we see that they were totally devoted. Being engaged with Jesus and with his church was really important to them. So how do we work that out in the 21st century? That's the hard part, isn't it? And I can't stand here and give you hard and fast answers. We all have to work that out, look over our lives prayerfully with the Holy Spirit and decide what's good and what's not. But at the heart of it all is just our desire for more devotion. I had a boiler engineer come out to see me in the week, the second time in a week he's been to see me. He knows you, Chris. And really nice chap, he came and he was chatting. First time he came, he said, oh, what are you working on? What are you doing? I said, what do you do for a living? Took a big deep breath, always hard to explain. I said, well, I'm a church leader. And he said, oh, it's very interesting. I did an Alpha course. And blah, blah, blah. Anyway, we had quite a long conversation. And then he came back on Friday to follow up. And he said, so what are you doing this weekend? He said, oh, yeah, you're doing the church thing, aren't you? I said, yeah, that's right. And he said, oh, yeah, it's really hard. He said, because I like rowing. I like rowing on a Sunday. That's where I go. That's what I do. And he said, so church doesn't fit into that. And I said, well, that's very interesting because that's exactly the thing I'm talking about on Sunday morning. How do we be Christians, followers of Jesus in the 21st century? What decisions do we make in our lives? But I said to him, you know, first and foremost, it's about being devoted to Jesus. Didn't use that word. It's about being devoted to Jesus and then how we work that out. Because church actually isn't our relationship with God. We have a relationship with God. Therefore, we go to church as part of our devotion. So he said to me, well, I'm not going to come on Sunday. He said, but put a fiver in the offering for me. So I did. So let's ask ourselves some hard questions. Are you ready? I'm going to ask these with a smile on my face. Here we go. How's our connection with Jesus? Is it our highest daily priority? It's a hard one, isn't it? Is it our highest daily priority? It's part of being devoted. What about relationships? One of our values, love everyone we meet as River Church. These guys in the first century, they met together often. They built their lives together. They shared life together. They engaged together between Sundays. They reached out into their community. They encouraged each other daily. That's part of our devotion. What about gatherings? Here's a tough one, me and the boiler engineer. Our gathering together. Are our gatherings, is gathering together important to us? It clearly is because you're here this morning. But is it, does this go in your diary in ink? Or do you just come here if you haven't got anything better going on? That's a really hard one. If we're going to be devoted, are we prepared to devote ourselves to Jesus and to his church, his body? It's part of our devotion to him. Here's an even more ouch one. Money. Do we have high levels of devotion with our money, with the resources God has entrusted us, or low? Do we see it as ours, with some to give to God? Or do we actually see it as God's, entrusted to us? Do we honour him with the first tenth of our finances? Did we do that in 2015? Will we do it this year? Will we work towards it, if that's not where we're at the moment? We've seen what came out of the Acts 2 churches' total devotion. We saw supernatural living. We saw many people becoming followers of Jesus. We saw signs and wonders, amazing community living. And I think that is worth pursuing some of those things, devotion in those areas. I think that Bill Hybels quote I read out to you, it's worth asking ourselves some hard questions. But if you're sitting there thinking, well, okay, fair enough, I'm not too offended yet. I'll give her the benefit of the doubt. She's got a few more minutes to go. How do we change? How do we change from low devotion to high devotion? It's a fair question to ask. And I think it's about two things. I think it's about our desire to, and I think it's about our decisions, the two Ds. And there's a set of verses that I have been meditating on this week, spending time reading and being very challenged on myself. So I thought, do you know what? I'll share it with you. And here we go. So this is from John 12, 23 to 26. It's a version of the Bible called the Passion Translation, which I love. And this is what this says. It's Jesus speaking, and he replies to them, "Now is the time for the Son of Man to be glorified. Let me make this clear. A single grain of wheat will never be more than a single grain of wheat unless it drops into the ground and dies, because then it sprouts and produces a great harvest of wheat, all because one grain died. The person who loves his life and pampers himself will miss true life. But the one who detaches his life from this world and abandons himself to me will find true life and enjoy it forever. If you want to be my disciple, follow me and you will go where I'm going. And if you truly follow me as my disciple, the Father will shower his favor upon your life." Now, as I read this, I just offer you a few thoughts. I'm not about to spend 45 minutes unpacking it. I like how this starts. Now is the time for the Son of Man to be glorified. And as I read this, I felt that Holy Spirit said to me, say that to everybody in Marlow. Now is the time for the Son of Man to be glorified. Now is the time for him to be glorified in your lives. Now is the time for him to be glorified here in Marlow River Church. Now, it's now is the time for him to be glorified in Marlow community through Love Marlow and all these other things that are going on. And I felt that so strongly, guys. If you take nothing else away, take the hope of that. Now is the time for Jesus to be glorified. He goes on, "Let me make this clear." Jesus wanted us to get this. He really did. A single grain of wheat will never be more than a single grain unless it drops into the ground and dies, because then it sprouts and produces a great harvest of wheat, all because one grain died. There's a grain of wheat. Looks a bit lonely and a bit dry. Do we want to be like that? Or do we want to be like that? A harvest. And I don't know about you, but I look at my life and it's really tempting to be a grain of wheat, quite independent with a hard shell. Ooh, I have something for you. Would you like to take one of these and pass it on? You'll need this later. This is a grain of wheat. Actually, it's a slight lie. It's a grain of spelt, but, you know, we won't worry about the technical differences. It was what I could get hold of at the time. Take one and pass it on. That'd be brilliant. Now then. Look at that grain of wheat, how hard that grain of wheat is. It's like that up there, and it's not going to do anything unless it falls into the ground and it dies. And do you know what? What is the legacy I want to leave in this world? That's the question I ask myself. Is the legacy I want to leave just being that first grain of wheat? Or do I want to leave a harvest? Am I prepared to be totally devoted and all the decisions that that means? Am I prepared to do that for Jesus and for his church to reap a harvest? That's what pushes me on. I absolutely do. What lives will we touch? What parts of God's kingdom will we bring as individuals here? Oh, it goes on. The person who loves his life and pampers himself will miss true life. Oh boy, I like loving my life. I like pampering. Isn't that not very nice? But actually, I'll miss true life if that's my only focus. I have a great friend. I love her to bits. She's probably my closest friend. She doesn't yet follow Jesus. And she has this life that she fills with all manner of things, and she thinks she's living true life. And even me, where I am in my Christian journey, know that that's not true life. It's like she thinks that's life in Technicolor, but it's black and white. This is life in Technicolor, but actually it's a bit like that fadey background. Actually, there's the great big bright colours that we can walk into as we continue to be totally devoted. God wants to open that up to us as we don't love our lives quite so much and pamper ourselves quite so much. The one who detaches his life from this world and abandons himself to me will find true life and enjoy it forever. Detaches, it's a bit like we're stuck into it. God, you know, it's the in the world, off the world, that kind of a thingy. I just saw it like, if my heart is stuck into love of this life, then actually I'm not going to find it easy to be totally devoted. We sort of need to detach ourselves a little bit, put a little bit of a gap, not be quite so caught up in everything around us. I'm not saying we can't enjoy this life and the amazing things it has to offer, but are our hearts going to be planted in this life, or are they going to be planted in Jesus? If you want to be my disciple, follow me and you'll go where I'm going. And if you truly follow me, the Father will shower his favor on your life. I want that. Do you want that? I want the Father's favor showered on my life. What are the things that take us away from God, from being fully devoted, from serving him? What in our 21st culture actually prevents us from being devoted? What distracts us, sucks up our time, takes away our energy for the things of God? I think we need to be tough, and I think we need to have a laser-like focus on what we're going to go for. And we work that out with the Holy Spirit, with the help of people around us, people we love and respect. And I just think if we want the things that we've said we want to see as 20 church in the 21st century, we need to take those verses, take them away, chew them over, come back to them, ask God, what are you saying to me? Holy Spirit, what's your comment to me out of that? Because it'll be different from mine. It'll be different from the person next to you. But be assured, God wants the very best. He wants to shower his favor on your life. So as I just wrap up, I think that if God wants to do something amazing in the earth, I think he quite frequently looks for those in a place of high devotion. We read in Chronicles, "For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him." I think exciting things happen in the place of total devotion. And maybe, just maybe, if your Christian life's been a bit dead, a bit dull, a bit boring recently, then maybe you need to just take a look at your levels of devotion and take that prayerfully. I think a life of devotion requires cultivation. It requires intention. Do you know what? No amount of longing, wishing, hoping, or dreaming for it is actually going to bring it into existence. It requires choices. And I think that they are often very small ones. Today, am I going to read my Bible or not? today am I going to pray or not? Today am I going to talk to that person or not? Am I going to pray for my friend or not? They all may seem significant, but over time, they build an accumulative effect, shaping and growing us in total devotion along our scale with Sam, the follower of Jesus. Do you know what? It takes every one of you to be church in the 21st century here in River Church Marlow that has the life that you're longing to see. You can't leave the total devotion bit up to Dave and his leadership team, because it takes all of us. We are all part of the body of Christ. I read you the Bill Hybels quote earlier about church. He goes on to say this: give your life to this. Give all the money you can. Give all the service you can. Give all the prayers you can. Give whatever you have to give, because for all eternity, you'll look back over your shoulder and be glad that you did. So, as I leave you with homework. Here are a couple of questions for you to consider this week. What do you need to die to this year to be more devoted? I'm saying it with a smile. What life verse will you live from this year to encourage yourself? What out of your Bible are you going to take? What are you going to encourage yourself with when the going gets tough? What are you going to encourage yourself with? What we're going to do is we're going to end here now. And I've asked Andy if he'll come and he'll lead us in a final song. Now, you've all got a grain of wheat. You may wish to take your grain of wheat home. You may want to chuck it in the bin. You may have dropped it on the floor already. But as part of your response this morning, Jesus may, the Holy Spirit may have been talking to you. You may be sitting there thinking, you know what, actually, Lord, I'd love to go on a journey of more devotion with you. There may be some things Holy Spirit's spoken to you about. Actually, you know, yeah, I probably need to look at my attitude toward that, my heart toward that. Now, you may want to go home and respond in whatever way you want to, but you may choose to do that this morning. And if you do, I've got some ground here. It's actually some compost. It came with a lovely earwig, but I fished that out. I'm just going to put it there, and that's representative of the ground that the grain of wheat drops into and dies. And you've got your grain of wheat. If you want to, there's no pressure to, but as we praise this morning, as we take this final worship song and we ponder and we realize God wants to shower blessing and favor on our lives for our benefit and those out there, as we sing, you can just come and drop your grain into there. Andy, thank you.